All right, strap in, everyone. We're going deep today. A real deep dive into injection molding.
Ooh, injection molding.
You know that thing that makes, like, everything?
Wait, it's everywhere.
From your phone case to car parts.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get into the nitty-gritty. We've got some seriously technical articles on this.
Oh, the details.
And our mission, to figure out how to make injection molding work like a charm.
Smooth sailing.
No more defects.
No way.
No shrinkage, no warping, none of those annoying little bubbles.
Ah, those bubbles.
We're going to be pros at spotting them.
And preventing them.
Before they even happen.
Absolutely.
So it's all about getting that perfect part every single time.
That's the dream.
Now, you know, I was looking through these articles.
Yeah.
One thing that really jumped out at me.
Okay.
Was how important the material is.
Oh, huge.
Like, it's not just about the machine, the mold.
Uh-huh.
It's about choosing the right material from the get-go.
The foundation.
What do you think?
It's kind of like, you know, building a house.
Okay.
You wouldn't build a house out of straw.
Unless you're the big bad wolf.
Haha, true. But, you know, you'd choose bricks, concrete, strong stuff, right? For a reason.
Exactly.
And it's the same with injection molding.
So different materials react differently.
Totally. To pressure, heat, all of that.
So if you pick the wrong one, you're in trouble.
Big trouble. Warped parts, weak points.
Or just a product that totally flops.
That's the worst.
And then you've wasted time and money.
Not good. And sometimes, you know, you think you're saving money.
By going for the cheap stuff.
Exactly. But it backfires.
Because then you've got all these defects.
And you have to redo it.
So it's worth spending a little extra upfront.
Totally worth it. For the right material.
Okay, so let's get specific.
I love specific.
Imagine you're making a phone case.
Okay, phone case.
It's got to be tough, you know.
Durable.
Withstand drops, scratches.
Everyday wear and tear.
What material are you going for?
For that, ABS plastic.
ABS.
It's the go-to.
Why is that?
Think about it. That satisfying thud when you drop your phone.
And it doesn't shatter?
Exactly. That's ABS doing its job.
Protecting our precious phones.
Plus, it's got that smooth, glossy finish.
Ooh, yeah, looks good.
Perfect for electronics.
So, ABS... it's a workhorse.
Definitely.
But what if you need something more flexible?
Ooh, bendy.
Like a container lid.
Yep.
Or those little bendy parts inside electronics.
Uh-huh.
What then?
Polypropylene.
Polypropylene.
It's like the king of bendy.
Bends without breaking.
Right. Perfect for hinges, snaps, all that.
Living hinges too, right?
Built into the design itself.
So polypropylene. Mm. Got it.
Flexible friend.
Well, hold on.
What's up?
What if you need both?
Both.
Strength? And deflexibility.
That's tricky.
Like a car bumper.
Okay, car bumper.
It needs to absorb impact.
Right.
But also have some give.
Yeah, gotta have that flex.
So what do you do?
That's where things get interesting.
Ooh, tell me more.
Sometimes you gotta blend materials.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Exactly, to get those perfect properties.
So for a car bumper.
You might use, let's say, polypropylene.
For the flex.
And then something like polycarbonate.
For strength.
And impact resistance.
Wow, so it's like a material cocktail.
It's all about finding the right recipe.
So no one-size-fits-all solution.
Nope.
It's about understanding each material.
Their strengths, their weaknesses.
And then finding the perfect combo.
Exactly. And that's why these technical articles are so great.
They give you all the details.
All the data, the insights.
Real-world examples.
To help you make the right choice.
Okay, so we've got our materials down.
Foundation is strong.
But even with the perfect plastic blend,
yep,
things can still go wrong.
Oh, for sure.
In the actual molding process itself.
Many things can happen.
Do these documents cover that?
They do. And you know what's fascinating?
Right.
They really emphasize the human element.
Wait, so it's not all about robots.
Robots are cool, but...
we still need humans.
More than ever, actually.
Really? I thought everything was automated now.
Automation is important, don't get me wrong.
But it's not the whole story.
Nope. It's those experienced professionals.
The human touch.
They make all the difference.
Okay, explain that to me.
Think of it like an orchestra.
Okay.
The injection molding orchestra.
I like it.
And the experienced operators. They're the conductors.
They're leading the show.
They understand all the nuances.
The temperature, the pressure, the timing.
All of that.
So they know when something's off.
They can sense it.
Like a sixth sense for injection molding.
They see things an automated system might miss.
Wow, so they're like the molding whisperers.
Haha, kinda. They can look at a part.
And just know.
And just know. Like, the cooling time needs tweaking.
Or the pressure's too high.
Exactly. They prevent defects before they even happen.
That's incredible.
Years of experience, you know.
You can't program that into a machine.
Not yet, anyway.
So, respect to the molding masters.
Absolutely.
But let's talk tech.
Oh, yeah. Tech is changing the game.
I'm picturing robots, lasers, the whole shebang.
It's getting pretty sci-fi out there.
What kind of innovations are we talking about?
One big one is real-time monitoring.
Real-time, like as it's happening.
Exactly. Think of it like a 247 watchdog.
Keeping an eye on everything.
Every little detail. Temperature, pressure, injection speed.
Wow.
And if anything goes off track,
it alerts someone.
It alerts the operator, or it can even make automatic adjustments.
Wow, so the machine fixes itself.
In a way, yeah. It's all about preventing those costly mistakes.
That's amazing. It's like predicting the future of the molding process.
In a way, yeah. And it's not just monitoring.
There's more.
Advanced automation is huge, too.
Okay, so robots are involved.
Robots are part of it, yeah.
Anyway.
But it's not just about replacing humans.
Okay, so what is it about?
It's about precision and consistency.
Like what? Give me an example.
Think robotic arms placing inserts into molds.
With pinpoint accuracy.
Or vision systems that inspect the finished parts.
Like soupy-powered eyes.
They can spot tiny imperfections.
So it's not just about speed, it's about quality, too.
Exactly. And it allows those skilled operators...
Our molding masters.
...to focus on the more nuanced things.
While the robots handle the repetitive tasks.
A perfect partnership.
Human and machine working together.
The future of manufacturing.
Okay, so we've got the tech.
Cutting edge.
But are there still areas where humans are better?
Oh, absolutely.
Where robots just can't compete.
One big one is troubleshooting.
Ah, when things go wrong.
Even the best systems can't predict everything.
So what happens then?
You need a human with their experience and intuition.
To figure out what's going on.
And come up with a solution.
Right. Robots can follow instructions, but they can't think outside the box.
Exactly. Humans are still the best problem solvers.
Especially when things get unpredictable.
Which, in injection molding, happens a lot.
So humans are still essential.
Absolutely essential.
Okay, so we've talked about the materials, the experts, the tech.
The key ingredients.
But there's one thing we haven't touched on yet.
What's that?
Design.
Ah, the design.
How does the design of the product itself
Yeah.
impact the success of the whole operation?
That's a great question because even with the best materials and the best team,
yep.
a bad design can ruin everything.
Really? That's powerful.
It's true. So how does design affect injection molding?
Tell me everything.
Well, imagine trying to fill a mold with lots of little nooks and crannies.
Ooh, complicated.
Like spreading peanut butter in a really intricate cookie cutter.
Okay, I get it.
Sharp corners, tiny details, awkward angles.
Those are the enemy.
They can create all sorts of challenges.
Leading to defects and frustration.
And waste of time and money.
So how do designers avoid creating these molding nightmares?
They have to understand the limitations of the process.
The do's and don'ts.
Exactly. Things like wall thickness.
Wall thickness.
It needs to be consistent throughout the part.
Why is that?
To prevent uneven cooling.
Which leads to warping.
You got it.
Okay, so it's like finding that Goldilocks zone for wall thickness.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Not too thick, not too thin, but just right.
But what about those bubbles?
The dreaded bubbles.
What causes those, and how can designers help prevent them?
Well, bubbles, or voids, form when air gets trapped inside the molten plastic.
As it's being injected into the mold.
Right. Like, if the material isn't properly degassed.
Degassed.
Yeah, like getting all the air bubbles out.
Okay.
Or if the injection pressure is too low.
So the plastic needs to flow smoothly.
Yes. Into every corner of the mold.
No air pockets allowed.
And that's where gates and vents come in.
Gates and vents.
Remember we talked about those?
Vaguely.
They're like the plumbing system of your mold.
Controlling the flow.
Of the plastic in the air.
Okay, so gate design is critical.
Absolutely critical.
What are some common mistakes designers make with gates?
Well, one common mistake is putting gates in the wrong spot.
The wrong spot? Like where?
Like in a place that restricts the flow.
So the plastic can't get in properly.
Or it gets in, but it kind of welds together.
Welds. Like it fuses.
Yeah. And that traps air.
Ah, creating bubbles.
Bubbles galore. Yeah, cool. So a well-designed gate.
Yeah.
It ensures smooth flow, lets the air escape.
So no bubbles. What about vents?
Vents are crucial. Letting that air escape.
As the plastic fills the bowl.
Tiny escape routes.
For trapped air.
Preventing those bubbles.
So Gates and Vince, they work together.
They're a team. And designers need to think about their size,
okay,
shape, placement.
And it's all connected. But what about the size of the part itself?
Ah, good point.
Does that make a difference?
Huge difference.
I mean, is it the same to make a tiny earbud,
right,
as a giant car bumper?
Totally different ballgame.
How so?
Well, size affects everything.
Everything. Like what?
The materials you choose,
right,
mold does, even the type of machine you need.
Wow. So it's not just about scaling up.
Nope. It's about understanding how size changes the whole game.
What are some challenges with larger parts?
Well, they take longer to cool.
Makes sense. They're bigger.
And that means
more time for shrinkage and warping.
Exactly. So material choice is even more important.
You need something that shrinks less.
Right. Or a special mold design.
With better cooling.
To keep things even.
Okay, so it's all about balance.
I always about balance.
What about the machines themselves?
Oh, yeah. Bigger parts.
Need bigger machines.
They need more oomph. More material, higher pressure.
So you need a machine that can handle it.
Like a heavy-duty machine.
Like the difference between a home oven
and a professional bakery oven.
They both bake, but
one's for serious baking.
So bigger parts, more planning, more specialized equipment.
Longer lead times, too.
Okay, got it. What about smaller parts?
Ah, smaller parts?
Any advantages there?
They cool faster.
Less mass, right.
Which means shorter cycle times.
You can make more faster.
And they're more flexible.
Literally.
Well, kinda. You have more material choices.
Because shrinkage and warping are less of a problem.
For like sprinters.
And larger parts for marathon runners.
Each has its strengths.
But sometimes you need speed.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about size.
Big and small.
But let's get back to those defects.
The things we all hate.
Besides shrinkage and bubbles.
Yeah.
What else can go wrong?
Oh, there's flash. Flash. Excess plastic that squeezes out.
Squeezes out. Like where?
Along the parting line.
The parting line.
Where the mold halves meet.
Okay.
It's like when you're frosting a cake.
I love cake analogies.
And some frosting oozes out between the layers.
Messy. So what causes this plastic frosting to escape?
Usually it's the mold halves.
What about them?
And they're not clamped together properly.
So there's a gap.
A tiny gap, but enough for the plastic to sneak out.
Or if the clamping force is uneven.
Right, so some areas are tighter than others.
And the plastic finds the weak spot.
It's sneaky like that.
So it's all about that perfect seal.
A vice-like grip.
Can the mold itself cause problems?
Oh, definitely. Like what?
If it's worn out.
The mold gets old.
It can, yeah. The sealing surfaces get damaged.
Creating those gaps.
And then flash.
What about a poorly designed mold?
That can cause problems too.
Like what?
Not enough venting.
So the pressure builds up.
And the plastic has to go somewhere.
Out through the parting line.
Flash city.
Yeah.
So yeah, the mold is super important.
Got it. But what about our molding masters?
The human touch.
Can they prevent flash?
They're the best at it.
How so?
They know all the tricks.
Like what?
Adjusting the clamping pressure.
Okay.
Tweaking the injection speed.
Uh-huh.
Even modifying the mold itself.
Wow.
They're like mold surgeons.
Keeping things running smoothly.
And flash free.
Impressive. What about technology?
Oh, technology is helping too.
How so?
Sensors, for example.
Sensors.
They can detect variations in clamping pressure.
And
adjust automatically. It's like a closed loop system.
So it's constantly monitoring and adjusting.
Keeping that seal tight.
So no plastic escapes.
No flash.
What about those smaller machines?
The sprinters.
Yeah, do they have flash problems too?
Flash can happen on any machine.
Oh, right.
But smaller machines,
yeah,
they often have more precise control.
Over the clamping and injection.
So they might actually be better at preventing flash.
Interesting. So sometimes smaller is better.
It depends on the job.
Okay, we've covered flashing.
One less defect.
But what about other problems?
Like what?
Like sink marks.
Ah, sink marks.
What are those?
Little depressions, dimples on the surface.
Like the plastic shrunk in that spot.
Exactly. Uneven shrinking.
Why does that happen?
Not enough cooling time.
Okay.
Or not enough packing pressure.
Packing pressure.
Yeah, like making sure the plastic fills the mold completely.
Okay, got it. What about short shots?
Short shots.
When the plastic doesn't fill the mold all the way.
Ah, yeah, frustrating.
So sink marks are like little craters.
And short shots are like not finishing the raise.
But what causes these problems?
Sink marks often happen in thicker areas.
Because they take longer to cool.
And they shrink differently.
So consistent wall thickness is key.
To prevent those sink marks.
What about short shots?
Those can be caused by a few things.
Like what?
Not enough material.
Okay.
Low injection pressure.
Uh-huh.
or flow restrictions in the mold.
So it's like making sure you have enough cake batter.
And a strong enough piping bag.
To fill every nook and cranny.
You're getting good at this.
I'm learning from the best.
It's all about precision and attention to detail.
Just like baking. But speaking of detail,
yeah.
We haven't talked about the environment.
Ah, sustainability.
We mentioned reducing waste, but what else is being done to make injection molding greener?
That's a big topic.
What do the documents say?
Well, one big trend is using recycled plastics.
So those water bottles get a second life.
As car parts, furniture, all sorts of things.
That's amazing. So we're closing the loop.
Creating a circular economy.
But what are the challenges?
Well, recycled plastic.
Yeah.
It's not always consistent.
What do you mean?
The quality can vary.
So it's not as predictable as virgin plastic.
Right, because it's been processed, recycled.
So there's more variability.
It can affect the molding process.
So how do you deal with that?
It's all about quality control.
Making sure the recycled material is up to snuff.
Exactly. And the documents go into detail about that.
The different grades of recycled plastic.
The processing techniques.
How to make sure it's good enough for injection molding.
It's a whole science.
So it's about finding that balance.
Always about balance.
Between being eco-friendly.
And making sure the product still performs well.
Right. You don't want to compromise quality.
And that's where innovation comes in.
New ways to process recycled plastics.
Making them better and better.
So we can use them for more demanding applications.
The future is recycled.
I like it. What about bio-based plastics?
Ooh, those are cool.
Made from plants, right?
Corn, sugarcane. Even algae.
So instead of oil, we use plants.
To make plastic.
That's mind-blowing. What are the challenges there?
Well, bio-based plastics,
yeah.
They don't always perform the same.
As traditional plastics.
Right. Some are more brittle.
Okay.
Or they melt at lower temperatures.
So they might not be suitable for everything.
It depends on the application.
And the documents talk about that.
They do. They break down the different types.
Of bio-based plastic.
Their properties, their strengths, their weaknesses.
So you can choose the right one for the job.
Exactly.
What about the cost?
Bio-based plastics,
yeah.
They're usually more expensive.
Than traditional plastics.
At least for now.
But as they become more popular.
And production scales up.
The price should come down.
Hopefully.
What about their environmental impact?
They're definitely better for the planet.
How so?
They reduce our reliance on fossil fuels.
Okay.
They lower greenhouse gas emissions. And they're often biodegradable.
So they break down naturally.
Instead of sitting in a landfill forever.
That's a huge plus.
But it's important to note, the environmental impact depends on a few things.
Like what?
The type of plant used, the farming practices, and how the material is disposed of.
So it's complicated.
It's not a simple answer.
But it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Towards a more sustainable future.
And the documents talk about all of this.
They do. All the latest research and development.
On making bio-based plastics better.
And more sustainable.
This is fascinating.
It is.
Okay. So we've covered recycled plastics.
Yep.
Bio-based plastics.
Uh-huh.
And the overall push towards sustainability.
But what a movement.
But what about energy efficiency?
Yes.
How can we make injection molding use less energy?
That's a key focus.
What are the documents saying?
Well, one big area is reducing the energy needed for heating and cooling.
The plastic.
During the molding cycle.
So making the process more efficient.
Using less energy for the same results.
And how do we do that?
One way is all electric machines.
All electric.
They use electric motors instead of hydraulics.
And that saves energy.
Big time. Plus, it's quieter.
Less noise pollution.
It's a win-win.
What else?
Improving mold insulation.
Mold insulation.
Yeah, like wrapping your house in insulation.
To keep the heat in.
Exactly. But in this case, it's the mold.
So you're not wasting heat.
Lower energy bills, lower carbon footprint.
Makes sense. So it seems like the injection molding industry
yeah.
is really taking the sustainability seriously.
Absolutely.
Exploring right. all these different options.
To be more eco-friendly.
That's great to hear.
It is.
Okay, we've covered a lot.
A whole lot.
Materials, experts, technology, sustainability.
The key pillars of injection molding.
But there's one more area I want to explore.
Ooh, what's that?
The future.
The future of injection molding.
What's coming next?
That's the exciting part.
What do the documents say?
They hint at some amazing possibilities.
Like what? Give me the scoop.
Well, one big trend
yeah.
is AI.
Artificial intelligence.
In injection molding.
So smart machines.
That learn from experience.
Wow.
Adapt to changing conditions and even predict problems.
Before they happen. That's incredible.
It is. They can analyze data.
From past molding cycles.
Let's optimize the process.
So fewer defects, less waste, more efficiency.
The power of AI.
I'm blown away.
Yeah.
What else is on the horizon?
New materials.
Even better materials.
Stronger, lighter, more durable.
Like what?
Super strong plastics, lightweight composites,
wow,
and even self-healing materials.
Wait, what? Self-healing plastics?
It's not sci-fi anymore.
How did that even work?
They can repair themselves.
If they get scratched or cracked.
Extending the lifespan of the product.
That's mind-blowing. The possibilities are endless.
They really are.
Right.
But we have to consider the environmental impact.
Of these new innovations.
We can't just forget about sustainability.
So, are there concerns?
There are always concerns, but researchers and manufacturers, they're working hard to make sure
that these new materials and technologies
are still eco-friendly.
So it's about pushing the boundaries
of what's possible,
but in a responsible way.
Exactly. And the documents highlight that.
The focus on sustainability.
It's not going away.
This is all so exciting.
It is. The future is bright for injection molding.
And greener. Hopefully.
Like greener.
Wow. So we've really gone deep, haven't we? Into the world of injection molding.
Yeah, deeper than I thought we'd go.
I mean, we've covered everything, right?
Materials, mold design, automation, sustainability.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up.
Yeah.
I want to talk about something.
Okay.
That's been on my mind.
What's that?
Ethics.
Ethics in injection molding.
I know. It sounds a bit out there. But hear me out.
Okay, I'm listening.
Injection molding. It's everywhere, right?
It is. Like we said, it's in almost everything.
And with that kind of power.
Power.
Well, influence
comes
responsibility.
To do things the right way.
Exactly. So ethics in injection molding.
What does that even mean?
It means making sure the whole process.
The whole thing.
From start to finish.
Okay.
Is ethical.
So more than just sustainability.
Right. Sustainability is part of it.
Reducing waste, emissions.
All that good stuff.
But ethics goes further.
It does. It's about fair labor practices.
Okay.
Making sure workers are treated fairly.
Throughout the supply chain?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sourcing materials responsibly.
So no shady suppliers.
And designing products that are safe.
Safe for people to use.
And durable.
So they last a long time.
And ultimately beneficial to society.
That's a lot to consider.
It is. But it's important, right?
I agree. It is.
And you know what?
What?
These technical documents we've been looking at, they actually talk about ethics.
They do. I didn't catch that.
It's subtle, but it's there.
So the industry is thinking about this.
They are. There's a growing awareness.
Of social and environmental responsibility.
Which is great to see.
It is. Any specific examples?
Well, one thing that stood out to me.
Okay.
Is transparency in the supply chain.
Transparency, like being open about where things come from.
Exactly. Manufacturers are becoming more accountable.
For their supply.
To making sure they're ethical.
So no more sweatshops or child labor.
Right. And some companies are even using blockchain.
Blockchain, like for cryptocurrency?
The same technology, but they're using it to track materials.
To make sure they're sourced ethically.
And to prevent fraud.
That's smart.
It's a digital trail, you know?
Can't be tampered with.
So it's a way to ensure accountability.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And it's not just about materials.
There's more.
The documents also talk about designing products.
Okay.
For a circular economy.
Ah, so they can be reused or recycled.
Exactly. Instead of ending up in a landfill.
That's a big shift in thinking.
It is. And injection molding can play a key role.
By using durable materials.
Designing for disassembly.
And incorporating recycled content.
It's all connected.
It is. So the industry is taking this seriously.
They are. And consumers are too.
Consumers.
People are starting to demand
ethical products
made responsibly and sustainably.
So we're all part of this.
We are. We have the power to choose.
To support companies that do things right.
And that's a powerful thing.
It is. It's about voting with our wallets.
And as consumers become more aware,
the industry will have to respond.
So it's a positive feedback loop.
Towards a more ethical future.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's a good place to wrap things up.
Yeah, we've covered a lot.
A whole lot. But I hope our listeners have a newfound appreciation.
For injection molding.
It's not just about making plastic things.
It's about innovation, technology, sustainability.
And ethics.
It's about shaping the future.
And making it a better one.
Absolutely.
So next time you pick up a plastic product,
yeah,
think about the journey it took.
From raw material to finished product.
The people involved, the choices made.
Injection molding.
The impact on the planet.
Injection molding, it's all around us.
It is, and it's a powerful tool.
Let's use it wisely.
And responsibly.
To create a world we can all be proud of.
I'll drink to that.
To a better future, shaped by injection molding.
Cheers.
Until next time, happy molding.